and this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. A U.S. SEAL was killed Friday and three others wounded. Happened in a fight with Al-Shabaab militants in Somalia, about 65 kilometers west of the capital, Mogadishu. At least two other Navy SEALs and an interpreter were wounded in the attack. White House Deputy Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says President Trump has sent condolences to the families.
Obviously, we first and foremost want to express our deepest condolences and our deepest appreciation for all of the men and women in the military and the ultimate sacrifice that they paid, particularly this soldier and all of the others.
U.S. Africa Command and the American forces were attacked during an advise and assist mission alongside members of the Somali National Army. A deal worked out by Russia, Turkey, and Iran to set up de-escalation zones in mostly opposition-held parts of Syria went into effect in the early hours today. Russia says the zones will be closed to aircraft from the U.S.-led coalition. Pentagon spokesman Major Adrian Arnkin Galloway told VOA that they welcome the effort to reduce the violence to allow humanitarian assistance to reach those who are in need inside of Syria and ultimately to lead to a political resolution to the ongoing crisis. However, he said the fight against the Islamic State will continue.
What I can tell you is that our operations, our airstrikes, our partner forces on the ground will continue to take the fight to ISIS wherever they are in Iraq or Syria.
Russia, Turkey, and Iran agreed to a Moscow-proposed deal to establish the so-called de-escalation zones in Syria to try to end the six-year conflict. This is VOA News. French presidential candidate Emmanuel Macron's team blasted what they called a massive and coordinated hacking attack against his campaign after a flood of internal documents were released online late Friday, barely 24 hours before the election. The centrist candidate's furious staff and the release of thousands of the emails, accounting documents, and other files, they said, was an attempt to democratic destabilization like they've never seen before. And it like what happened in the presidential campaign in the United States. Polls show that Macron leads by double digits over far-right candidate Marine Le Pen.
Les cinq ans qui viennent seront éminemment atypiques. Si je devais être élu dimanche soir par les
Macron
Français,
told reporters that the next 5 years will be atypical for his country, with him as the next president, being the youngest and heading a political movement that did not exist over a year ago. Le Pen has wrapped up campaigning for Sunday's election with her aides, that is, calling the leak unprecedented in a French electoral campaign. Preliminary results from Algeria's parliamentary election indicating the governing FLN party lost approximately 70 seats in the 463-seat body, but should be able to remain in power in coalition with several smaller allied parties. Edward Uranian in Cairo is following the story.
Voter turnout in parliamentary elections across Algeria appeared to be lighter than the government had hoped, although 38% of eligible voters reportedly cast their ballots, according to Interior Ministry figures. Participation was down from 43% in the previous parliamentary election in 2012. Some younger voters appeared to heed calls on social media to boycott the election. Algerians in some parts of the country appeared to vote in larger numbers than in others. Despite the regional disparities, though, Interior Minister Nourdine Bedoui proclaimed the election a success, emphasizing the governing Front de Libération Nationale party won the largest number of seats. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
North Korea has accused the governments of the United States and South Korea of carrying out an unsuccessful assassination attempt against their leader, Kim Jong-un. The North Korean statement did not provide details about how it allegedly broke up the assassination plot or if anyone else involved was in custody. Country singer, music singer Loretta Lynn has been hospitalized after suffering a stroke. Happened at her home in the state of Tennessee. Lynn's official website said the 85-year-old singer would be recovering.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
This is Russ Davis, and I welcome you to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. And this, like many of our Jazz America programs, is a birthday party. This is a very special one, the 80th birthday celebration for the great bassist, composer, NEA jazz master, Ron Carter. Ron Carter is one of the most established and revered bassists in all of jazz history, born in Detroit, Michigan, and that is where I caught up with him last summertime at the Detroit Jazz Festival to have the conversation I'll share with you during this edition of Jazz America. And of course, we'll give you music from his glorious career that began back in the early 1960s. I'm sure he was active in the 1950s, but first began recording as one of the major bassists in jazz about that time. As a matter of fact, at the Detroit Jazz Festival in 2016, they were celebrating their hometown hero as the world record holder, the most recorded bassist in all of jazz history, with, at that point, 2,221 recording sessions. Well, he's gone on to record more music since then, so he continues to build on that record-breaking array of great composing and performing and recording. Well, we'll celebrate Ron Carter and give you a taste of some of the music that he's worked on, not only his own work, but with others. As a matter of fact, let's begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America with a 1967 classic from Antonio Carlos Jobim. It's the title cut from his groundbreaking release, Wave, and the person playing the bass, Ron Carter, here on VOA's Jazz America.
a far ago. You feel better when you're moving slow, yeah. Don't get locked into your sadness. Carbon block starts up. If you stumble, just be tongue in cheek. Love is always just like hide and seek. Well, Antony and Cleopatra, they did it too. So it's always just like hide and seek, yeah. Romeo and Juliet did it too. So don't be blue. Hey, don't be blue. No, don't.
One of the great jazz singers who passed away in 2015, Mark Murphy, from his album Wild and Free, live at the Keystone Corner, recorded in 1980 at that famous San Francisco club. That's the song Don't Be Blue from the late, great Mark Murphy, a new release just out. Well, last Labor Day holiday weekend, the last weekend of summer, traditionally, here in the Northern Hemisphere and in the USA, we had a chance to attend once again the Detroit Jazz Festival, and there I was invited to be part of a documentary film being made to celebrate their local hero, Ron Carter. I was invited to interview Ron for part of this filmed documentary, and we got some ideas about his incredible career, his love of his city of Detroit, and we'll hear those thoughts and, of course, some of his wonderful music here on VOA's Jazz America as we celebrate his 80th birthday on the 4th of May. Russ Davis here at the 2016 Detroit Jazz Festival, the 37th edition of the world's largest free jazz festival. And who should I be sitting with but the great Ron Carter, Detroit's own and the artist in residence for this year. Ron, thanks for taking some time with us.
Good to see you this morning.
Okay, quickly, your instruments. From what I understand, beginning with cello, moving to double bass, a little electric bass mixed in there somewhere down the line, mm-hmm. but settling with the double bass for the most part. Mm-hmm. And the cello, probably thought of as a classical music instrument, although it certainly can be used in improvisational music, no doubt.
As it is, yeah. I started out playing cello until I was from 11 to 12, till my senior semester in high school. That make it about 6-7 years.
Mm.
And I switched to bass my senior semester in high school. That would be January of 1955.
Mm.
And I've been still trying to find and write notes since then. So 1955, 1956, 1957, 58, 59. I figured out that, yeah, to this day. Actually, till last night, I'm trying to find the right notes.
I think a lot of people would say you found a lot of the right notes, my friend.
Now, give them back to me. I need them tomorrow.
Well, the classical jazz world, the third stream, if you will, some people have said you've been part of that movement with electric bass, with Miles, and maybe in other situations, a little bit more hard edge, a little bit more big sound, and a whole different place that music comes from. Have there ever been any conflicts within you with those different styles? Is it all just kind of just music?
Well, we've got the same notes, and my job as a sideman has always been, can I play the kind of notes, and can I bring a certain kind of integrity to this project? That the leader who has trusted me to be able to fill this slot in his music, can I do this job well enough to have him think that when he comes back for another project, that he'll have to include me because I brought something to his day, to his concept, to his music.
Mm.
And I think that's the desire of any good sideman, not just me, but the good sidemen who I've seen do this stuff for years as bassist, George Vivier, Milt Hinton, Richard Davis, they all brought this ingredient to the project that made the leader or the contractor or the boss, whoever that is, feel that this guy gave my project the life that I hoped he would bring.
Mm.
And that's what I try to do when I play with my groups. I'm a sideman, basically. My job is to help these people get to another level.
One of the most famous sidemen of all time, who's worked on, from what I've understood, over 2,000 different sessions in the studio, who knows how many shows all over the world. Well, here's the music of that humble leader who considers himself a sideman as a bassist, leading his band on a song from his album When Skies Are Gray entitled Loose Change. Ron Carter on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Wallace Roney, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on the Voice of America.
from his latest release, A Place in Time. That's the esteemed trumpeter Wallace Roney with a song entitled El's Bop here on Jazz America. And I've got another pretty good trumpet player, gentleman named Miles Davis coming up, who Ron Carter spent some time working with over the years. That's on the way. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address. jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received from Mario Ruiz, who did not tell me where he was writing from, but he did write me a message in Portuguese, which I had to translate, and he sent me a picture of Ileana Elias, the great vocalist and pianist. And the message in Portuguese, "Hello, Russ. Do you know the beautiful Brazilian pianist Ileana Elias? Well, do I ever. As a matter of fact, Mario, I'd be happy to play a song for you right now from her latest release, entitled O Pato, from her album Dance of Time, to begin this set of music on VOA's Jazz America.
O Pato vinha cantando alegremente, quei, quando uma marreco sorridente pediu para entrar também no samba, no samba, no samba. O canso gostou da dupla e também, quen, 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 olhou pro cisne e disse assim: vem, vem, que o quarteto ficará bem, muito bom, muito bem. Na beira da lagoa foram ensaiar para começar o tico-tico no fubá. A voz do pato era mesmo um desacato, jogo de cena com o ganso era mato. Mas eu gostei do final quando caíram na água. Vinha cantando alegremente, quen, quando um marreco sorridente pediu para entrar também no samba, no samba, no samba. O canso gostou da dupla e fez samba, quen, quen, olhou pro cisne e disse assim: vem, vem, que o quarteto ficará bem, muito bom, muito bem. Na beira da lagoa foram ensaiando para começar o tico-tico no fubá. A voz do pato era mesmo um desacato, jogo de cena com um ganso era mato. Mas eu gostei do final quando caíram na água e saíram no vulcão. Quen, 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 o pato. Vinha cantando alegremente, quen, quando um marreco sorridente pediu para entrar também no samba, no samba, no samba. O canso gostou da dupla e também, quen, quen, olhou pro cisne e disse assim: vem, vem, que o quarteto estará. bem, muito bom, muito bem. Na beira da lagoa foram ensaiar para começar o tico-tico no fubá. A voz do tatu era mesmo desacato, jogo de cena com o ganso era mato. Mas gostei do final quando caíram na água, ensaiando o vocal, hein? We'll be right back.
For almost 10 years, in the 50s and 60s, Paul Chambers had been the bassist in the Miles Davis Quintet. Who followed him? None other than our special guest on this edition of Jazz America, Mr. Ron Carter. That was Ron alongside George Coleman on tenor sax, Herbie Hancock on piano, and Tony Williams on drums with Miles Davis from the groundbreaking album Four and More, recorded live in concert with Seven Steps to Heaven. This is Russ Davis, and let's return to my conversation in Detroit, the hometown of Ron Carter, for more thoughts from him, this time about making his move from Detroit to the jazz mecca of New York City, where he got together with Miles and a host of other fantastic players.
How important was it to be in New York for you? I know it's been important for a lot of folks over the years.
It's as important for me as it is for them then and now. New York is a place where everyone goes to see if they're the best guy there. And the best guy or gal means that you're at the top of your game and you're hoping that you are so far on top of your game that you have a chance to be competitive in the positive sense in terms of whatever work there is available for you. The Broadway shows are coming more jazz-oriented than they were in the late earlier.
That's right.
The orchestras are now playing a different kind of pops library to encourage the people to attend the regular season ticket holders events, ballet, the dance, the jazz clubs. The only thing that's really different right now is that there aren't the record labels that they were 25 years ago. Okay, but there's enough. My students from Juilliard and the New School, they will go around to these small rooms in New York, and they would talk the club owner to having them play just two nights in this little club that's big as this table, and we'll see how the audience likes the music. And when the audience responds and be staying a little bit longer, spending a little more money for the meal, and coming back the next week if the guys are still there, they've made themselves a gig. And I don't know any place in the country that allows that kind of musician owner of the club relationship that allows the owner to have the capacity and the daring to have a guitar and piano, or guitar and bass, or guitar and flute group in a corner that's as big as this right here, and hope that this event will encourage his audience, his customers, to stay longer. One of the other things about New York is everybody goes there. Every instrumentalist you find who wants to think that they're capable of being in charge of their game, whatever that is, they got to go to New York because there's somebody else who's already been there or who is also trying to get there. And it's this positive competitive spirit, this magnet of challenging that makes everyone who thinks that they belong, they no longer want to be a big fish in a small pond. They want to be the pond. And you got to go to New York, man.
And from the album that is, like many others in the Ron Carter repertoire, a salute to New York City, the album New York Slick, here's Alternate Route on Jazz America from VOA1. jazz master like Ron Carter. Born on the 8th of May in 1945, pianist Keith Jarrett with Treasure Island. More of our celebration of Ron Carter coming up.